This is The Producers, a podcast. The biggest names in audio production, station sound, radio imaging, branding, and voiceover. Interviews, tips, tricks, advice. To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com. Now, The Producers with Ryan Dreen.
Hey, we do it again, Producers Podcast. Thanks for checking it out, as always. We don't have too much to say in the intro here. I will say Hairy Leg is the guest. Hairy Leg. I didn't even ask him because I think most people are aware of Harry and know that, yes, at least he claims that's his real name from birth. I'm not saying one way or the other, whether I'm calling him a bald-faced liar or what, but no, he says that's his real name. But anyway, I didn't ask him about that. We did a great interview. It's about an hour, two parts, lots of audio jammed in there. The beginning, I'll kick it off here in just a minute with a great promo that Konski produced at Today FM, Harry voiced, and there's also lots of other pizzazz going on in there, but you'll hear some of that, his recent stuff he did there. In fact, may as well tell you now, speaking of Today FM in Sydney, Konski images that station. He's a pretty popular and I would say now famous radio imaging producer. He was a guest on this podcast a while ago. He actually lives closer to Melbourne and works hand in hand with the guy who I will interview next, Matt Nikolich. So that'll be the upcoming interview. In fact, it's already in the can. I will, you know, wait a little bit, put that one out pretty soon. And then after that, just so you know, we'll move back over to London. And I have Dave Bethel, his interview. That one's in the can as well, in fact, just waiting to kind of coincide the release of that episode with the release of his brand new album. And it's almost here. So yeah, a lot of great episodes that I've literally already recorded. So they'll be on the way. Look forward to those. A huge list of people to talk to in the future. I've already made contact with a few different people that are, you know, all good to go. So now it just comes down to scheduling. So, I mean, six or seven guests already sort of locked in. So lots of cool stuff to talk about. I will say this episode and my next two or three were delayed a bit because I decided while I changed servers on the website to make everything faster, why not change the website too? So I did that. RyanOnTheRadio.com is obviously the site, and you can check out that for the new design. But the blog, I'm putting a lot more effort into the actual blog. The podcast will remain the same. Lots of cool episodes to come out. But the blog, I'm going to do a lot more with different folks around the world. So where maybe I don't have enough time to do an entire podcast episode, I can still do some quick questions with producers around. Also get a little more specific if major format flips happen. I get to talk to the imaging guy behind that or gal behind that. So we'll do that. Plus also anything submitted, I get a lot more of that now. Submitted content, whether it just be demos or special audio for people to hear for some reason, or photos of the studio, screen caps, tutorials, anything that you want to contribute to the blog, love to have it. Everybody would love to check it out. And there's a few different handy-to-use sections there. And the blog is also much easier to access right there on the front page of the website. So hopefully you check it out, RyanOnTheRadio.com. Don't forget about our Facebook. It's Facebook.com/ProdPod. And we're also on Google+. I think I might have 7 people with it in the circle so far. Yeah, so we're blowing up on the Google+. But no, obviously the Facebook is the one a little more action, if you will. Otherwise, that's it. I'll come back with a quick note at the end of part two, but hopefully you enjoy the interview with the one and the only Harry Leg.
Today FM, Vodafone, all-time prepaid, and Take 40 present your all-time exclusive Gaga. Wednesday, July 13th at a secret location.
Come and see me, Lady Gaga, live on the radio.
To win your way into this all-time exclusive event, show us the monster in you. Upload your pick at todayfm.com.au. You were born to be there.
Live from the sexiest place on the planet.
Gaga. Live.
On my station. Today FM. I love this so much.
There we go. That is Harry Legg on the VO. Harry Legg is the guest. Harry, first let me say thanks so much for taking the time being on the podcast. I very much appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Now, let me start with a hard-hitting question that came in via the internet and relates to what we just heard. When you do your voiceover work, do you wear your judo outfit?
I'm gonna give some judo to David Konski for that question. I saw that. No, you know what? When I wear the karate outfit and I have the nunchucks, that's when I go into collections mode when clients aren't paying.
For those delinquent clients that some of us get from time to time.
Yeah, just once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Konski sent me that little. He also sent me another question for you. I'll ask later, but. Obviously, Konski produced that first thing. Is that true?
Yeah. David produced that. His stuff just blows me away. I bow to him and his production wizardry. He's so good.
Definitely. Yeah, it's crazy. Award-winning. Also a previous guest on the podcast, so I will hype that. You know, I want to kind of do this interview in three main parts, if you don't mind, because for me, you know, I first really knew about you and what you could do at KTU because I took a job out there in Jersey, in the little armpit of the New York City market, and I got to start hearing the Harry Legg stuff there.
Oh, boy.
So I want to kind of go, you know, pre-KTU. Okay. We'll talk about KTU, and then I want to talk post-KTU because you've obviously had a very successful post-KTU career. Okay. So if that's all right with you, we'll roadmap it that way.
Absolutely. No problem.
Okay. So let's just start, maybe bullet point how you got into this. I actually don't know a ton about your early days. So were you a DJ? Did you have a family member that owned radio? How'd you get into this business?
I wish I had that. No, the majority of my career, I've actually been on air. And I was one of those geeky kids. I was literally in fifth or sixth grade. And I was listening in my hometown of Cleveland to WGCL, G98, big CHR back then. And Joe Bohannon was doing nights of Chicago fame, Eddie and Jobo at B96 from back in those days. And I used to call him constantly on the request line and bug him. And finally one day, hey, Joe, could I come see the station? And, well, sure, Harold, come see the station. And, and you know, I had really supportive parents. And so they drive me downtown across from the Greyhound bus station. And we always know what those neighborhoods are like. And let me hang out. And that turned into having several of the other DJs and production guys there throughout the years. I mean, again, I was in fifth or sixth grade, and this carried all through high school where I was hanging out there. And there always, fortunately, was someone that kept me under their wing and let me watch them on air. I mean, I remember this back in the days when you're queuing up a 45, and I thought it was the coolest thing to hit the button and make it start on the air. And, you know, but then they'd give me a reel of tape and a stack of 45s to go in the production studio and practice DJing. Hey, on that turned into, hey, how do you do those real cool effects that I hear, you know, on your IDs and stuff? And we had people like Bob Brown and Bumper Morgan who taught me a whole lot of that back in the day. And then I did my first air shift. I was 14 years old. It was on a country station in Tennessee, actually. I had some relatives in Tennessee, and I used to go visit there every summer. And one of my relatives knew the owner of a small country station, and he played him my air check, or, well, fake air check that I made at the Top 40 station in Cleveland. And the guy, I guess, was like, eh, yeah, so? And he goes, well, you know how old he is? He's 14. And that's when the guy's mouth dropped and goes, bring that boy in. And, so that's how that went down. And then in my hometown, in high school, I interned at the public radio station, the NPR affiliate, and learned a whole different side of radio, which I'm really thankful for because later in my career, I've ended up doing some morning news, mostly on a fill-in basis and things like that. But it's just good to have that background. And now as the news talk imaging guy for Benstown, too. So and later working at WLW in Cincinnati. So it all just kind of came together in that regard. So, that's how it started. That was the infancy. I don't want to overly bore you and go on for 20 minutes about it.
That's the problem. When I like to get the background, I like to get it. But I, you know, I try and limit it because people don't want to hear every detail. But no, that's a lot of fun. I've found as I've done, 40 or so of these podcasts that you have about half the people that basically got into it when they were 14, 15 years old.
And which is very hard to do nowadays, almost next to impossible, because I remember when I was at KTU, for example, I couldn't have some 14, 15-year-old kid just hanging out with me in the studio. Unfortunately, they look at it and go, what's going on there? Is that inappropriate? Mm-hmm. And there's the whole corporate liability. You got to get school credit nowadays or whatever. So it does make it harder for young kids that truly have an interest to do it, which kind of sucks.
Yeah. So, well, let's jump if you want to KTU, or
sure.
Maybe was there a major job that you got before that then got you in the door at KTU, or how did that all transpire?
Well, the chain, I've been in 8 different markets, and the jump really came when I was at WLW in Cincinnati, and that cluster. I actually got blown out. We won't go into that. But who hasn't been blown out that's in radio, So
right.
And 3 days after getting blown out, I landed in Chicago. And that's where things really went into overdrive for me. I got to be an interim PD at a station there. And then when it switched to a top 40, got to be APD, MD of Kiss FM, the big city radio-owned one, and then Energy. And that got me known in the record label community because we were able to play songs that not everyone else was. So I made a lot of friends in the record industry and got nominated for Billboard magazine back when that, was going on and all that sort of stuff. And I left Chicago for 2 reasons. One, I saw that big city radio was going to go belly up, although it lasted a year longer than we thought. And Jesus, this is back in 2000. I remember going, I'm not sure I'm real happy with the way radio's going with all this voice tracking and salaries coming down. And I've got an opportunity to go to L.A. and work for a record label, and they're going to be supportive of my voiceover career. So it was strictly Rhythm Records, so it wasn't huge pressure like Columbia or, not to pick on them or some of the other larger labels. And I moved out there, and I had a 12-state territory, so I got to travel all over on someone else's dime. I always joke that Strictly Rhythm went out of business. They're back in business now, many years later, but went out of business because it was me, buying all the bottles of Dom for people and stuff. But
right.
Anyway, and another kind of cool story. 1 hour after I got the phone call from the general manager at Strictly Rhythm in New York saying, Harry, you knew it was coming. This is it. You are officially done, blah, blah, blah. 1 hour later, John Ivey at Kiss FM calls me. Harry, are you still working for that record label? Well, funny you should ask. When can you come in? You tell me. My schedule's wide open. So I ended up getting to go on the air at Kiss FM in L.A., and that was really cool.
And when was that? About 2001 or so? Is that what you said?
Yeah, 2000. Wow, geez. You make me drag out the resume off the top of my head. I think it was 2001 or 2002, something around there. Ryan Seacrest wasn't exactly who he is now back then. It was kind of the beginning of American Idol, and it was a different world. And
was he still on Star, though? Was he afternoons on Star at that point?
He was still on Star. Yeah, I remember sitting in a jock meeting with him, and I can guarantee you he's not sitting in jock meetings anymore.
No.
So that was a really cool experience. Just it felt so huge being on Kiss in L.A., and that's kind of what gave me the – even though I was only part-time there – that's kind of what gave me the jolt for, Frankie Blue at the time at KTU to go, hey, we're going to bring this guy from L.A., you know? And as I try to explain, to some other friends in the biz, I go, you could be the most talented person, in the biz, and you can leapfrog from smaller markets to bigger ones. Absolutely. It does happen. But it's a harder sell. I just felt so lucky. Can you have heard Frankie Blue going, yeah, we're bringing this guy in from Cincinnati? That's just a harder sell, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I'm not ripping on Cincinnati or anyone there. But to go, yeah, we're bringing in a guy who's a Kiss in L.A. So, thank you, John Ivey. Thanks for the Kiss experience. And that brought me to KTU. And the way I got the KTU gig was way back early in my career. This would have been mid-90s. It would have been 96 when KTU originally signed on, Radio and Production Magazine, and they'd send the cassettes out every month. on a cassette that 1 month was the debut imaging piece for KTU. And it, of course, blew me away. And I wrote to Bill Schultz, who was the imaging director there at the time. Out of the blue, he didn't know me. I didn't know him. And this proves the power of networking, which I'm just so big on. I said it was amazing and holy cow, could I send you a demo of mine? And all throughout the years, we kept in touch. And I went and visited him once in New York, and he showed me the studios. And I'd have given my left nut to work at KTU. I really would have back then. I would have driven there every weekend. Thank God Frankie Blue didn't remember many years later what a nutbag I was trying to bug him just to be a part-time jock. And so many years later, I'm in L.A., and Bill Schultz hits me up to voice a promo for one of the other stations in the cluster. I'm like, heck yeah. Then he had me read some lines for KTU, and he told me Frankie liked him, and maybe I'd become the next voice guy for KTU. And then that and several months went by, and that turned into my sitting in front of my computer one day, and back when everyone was still IMing on AOL, I get this... this IM from Bill going, do you want my gig? I'm like, whoa, what? What? And it's kind of funny because when I got to L.A., I slammed my fist down and I said, that's it. I'm not having the radio biz move me all over the country anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm where I want to be. Palm tree, sunshine, blah, blah, blah. And I got this offer for a station that was once my dream. And I'm like, interesting. How do I respond to this? But, you know, I talked to some of my mentors in the biz and they slapped me around going, Harry, what's wrong with you? You're going to be the image voice and the creative director and it's New York City. Come on. I go, yeah, but I love L.A. and I'm finally where I want to be and whatever. But I believe me, I don't regret it. It was the best move I ever made. It was just great.
And let me ask you real quick. You mentioned KTU being sort of that dream station at one point, but you know, when you actually took the job there, was KTU still sort of that dream station, or what was your dream, you know, the ultimate station you could be on, whether it's just the voice or, you know, producing it, whatever?
Well, I'd have to say in my mind and because of my personal musical taste, yes, KTU was still the ultimate station. I mean, it was amazing being on KISS in L.A., even as a part-time jock. But to have your voice coming out of the Empire State Building Tower and, you know, the beat of New York, I mean, how does it get cooler than that? And that's back in a different era of KTU. It was a different type of flame-throwing dance station with Broadway Bill Lee and Vic Latino and just amazing personalities and in a vibrancy that was great. So I was there for just under 4 years. The first 3 years of my time there was complete radio bliss. It was amazing. It was like the longest honeymoon period ever at a radio station.
And let me, now we're into the KTU days. You know what? Before we dive a little more into that, I want to play a little sample. You sent me a great montage of the Hairy Leg era of KTU.
Yeah.
So let me play, I don't know, 30 seconds, a minute or so of that right now, and then we'll come back and talk about KTU.
I have to disclaim it. I sound different now. Every voice guy that listens to themselves 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago goes, ooh. but nonetheless, all right, cool.
Over a billion beats served. This is the most listened to dance station in the world. In digital HD radio, 103.5 KTU, the beat of New York. Vic Latino.
Maybe I should just lay here and let him touch my booty.
The KTU house party with Vic Latino.
Come out a winner, purse from KTU, a Gucci, Louis Prada, or a Fendi too. Come out a winner, purse from KTU.
KTU. Definition of dance.
Let's get loud. Let's get loud.
Classics.
It's raining men. Hallelujah. It's raining men.
Freestyle.
Silent morning.
Fresh beats.
Oh boy, you're looking like you like what you see. Won't you come over and check up on it? I'ma let you work up on it.
103.5 KTU is a The beat of New York.
I loved your stuff there. I loved it. I worked at a little Clear Channel cluster out there in New Jersey, and I would listen to Z100. I listened to, obviously, Dave on Z. And I did like K-Rock in New York in doses.
Sure.
It kind of went through different phases where it sounded great and it sounded okay. But then KTU, I loved listening to your stuff at KTU.
Thanks.
The energy, the tempo, the style, you just felt, you know, cool. So tell me a little bit about, I don't know, what was your thoughts, your direction, you know, what, you know, the mentality of going into imaging that station when you got there?
Well, the mentality was for me to really, really quickly learn the mindset of New York City. Now, I had visited New York 50 gazillion times and was in love with visiting the city, but that's a lot different, obviously, than getting to know the complete mindset of living here. And everyone was great. It was such a team effort. If there was a promo to be written or, you know, set of sweepers or whatever, I'd walk down the hall, hey, Broadway, hey, Vic, hey, Jeff Z, Sky at the time was there. And there was always feedback. And, you know, and all it takes is one little nugget to go, ah, that's it, and then go run with it, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was back when I purposely put on that the demo that you just played a little bit of, because it's like 7 minutes long if somebody wants to listen to the whole thing online.
I meant to say I'm posting that entire 7 minute demo on my website on the show notes.
Okay.
So people can actually hear everything you gave me. I just want to make sure people knew that.
Sure. I purposely put in there a Beatstock promo from 2006 that's a minute and a half long. You can't do that now. So I just thought it was pretty funny. I'm like, oh, I got to include the whole thing, not just a snippet.
In fact, let me jump in real quick and better ask my question. As far as the station, you know, you needing to learn a little more about New York, as far as all radio stations in New York City at the time, was one of the goals of KTU to feel the most New York of all of them?
Absolutely. We were very proud of the fact that you, and we want to pick on our brethren at the time at Z100, but you didn't have to play as nice with your brother and sister back then, too, as they make you now in the corporate world.
Right.
We were very proud of the fact that you could not just pick KTU up and drop it in another city and that it would work.
Right.
You could not do that. Could you pick up some of the others? Maybe. So that came down to, for, you know, from the imaging, you know, purposely using the accents of the people in the city and having fun with that too. Like, I remember doing a PlayStation promo and we did a thing like we were, you know, we found some hot off, you know, fell off a truck and backed that up right here, loading dock 103, you know. So we would have fun with that sort of stuff. And then the jocks. Now, I will say that something that I had to get a bit used to. I had always come from a very polished CHR background. And when I first came to a KTU, obviously there were mega polished jocks like Broadway and Vic Latino, who I keep mentioning. There were some other jocks that weren't your traditional CHR, super smooth, slick, nail the post type jocks. And I had thought to myself, what? This is New York City. How do you have, they're talking a little too long and they don't have that same, you know, polish.
Mm-hmm.
But then after being there for a while, it made sense and I got it. And I'm like, you know, one of the keys was some of those DJs, when you listen to them with any regularity, you felt like you knew them. As opposed to, unfortunately, a lot of what you hear now, in one ear and out the other, go to blahblahblah.com and sign up for our this and that and the other, and in one ear and out the other.
Well, yeah, and you could lift them up and drop them in any city, and you wouldn't really notice.
And that's being done. And so KTU at the time, just everything that came out was that New York vibe. And we were playing music in many, many cases that was not being played anywhere else, too. So that all contributed.
Let me ask you, you know, be totally honest, and, you know, I know you will, but was there, when you were in New York, and from your point of view as a guy who was branding a station that should feel as New York as it gets, were there other stations in the city that you felt were actually doing that a little better, you know, being New York a little better than you?
I didn't really focus on
like
that.
Maybe, I don't know, a Hot 97 or maybe one of the smaller local stations?
That's entirely possible. I listen primarily to us. I listen primarily to Z at the time. And really, I focused on us. If another station was doing something, somebody else would tell me about it or tell Jeff Z or whatever.
When you were at KTU, I mean, it was in its heyday. Now, you mentioned that 3 years of Perfect Honeymoon Bliss, and then obviously you lasted a few months more after that. Where was there some major change that sort of happened? You know, what sort of happened to you there? And then tell me about the departure.
Well, let's see. How honest should I be?
I think you should be 100% honest because everybody does want to know.
Everybody wants to know. Well, you know, I'm not by no means am I bitter. I mean, at the time, you know.
No, I don't think anybody thinks that about you. No.
Punch my fist through someone. But no, I was there almost a year longer. I was there just under 4 years. And what happened was... It was a whole combination of things. I think Clear Channel, for whatever reason, would always... I don't get the feeling they're doing this now. But back then, KTU would always get toyed with, musically, in order to protect Z. At least that is my perception. I could be wrong, but it's my perception. So if we caught up too much in one way or another, you know, they'd pull us back, play more Bee Gees, play more, you know, Donna Summer or whatever. And we go, you know, do the no repeat work day. What? We're banging songs almost like a CHR, and you want us to go whatever it was, 9 to 5, 10 to 5, whatever, without repeating a song? What is that going to do to us? And how are we going to, you know, so there were these decisions made above our staff that kind of messed with KTU. And I think that was part of things, you know, I remember hearing stories of, you know, Frankie not wanting to play nice with Z, going, why should I give them that promotion? It's not going to help KTU's ratings or help my bonus, you know? And that was the way, that was the culture that was. But Clear Channel came in and it took a while. I think they messed with the small and medium markets first. And we always thought, well, maybe we'll be left alone. Well, eventually, you know, that caught up. And, that mentality didn't go over so well. You had to play nice. So we got jerked around musically a bit. And then there was the whole Whoopi Goldberg thing. And I think that was really the beginning of the end. And they wanted to tailor the station musically to fit Whoopi. And so that format could be just put elsewhere around the nation. And it stripped things from KTU that we would have done otherwise, you know, being who we always were. And, you know, Jeff Z departed. The next guy came in, Rob Miller. And Rob clearly had a mandate to change the station. And if you remember when he first came in, it went way to the other end. It became all very rhythmic AC, not rhythmic hot AC. And here's what I'll tell you. You know, Rob and I, we talk to this day. You know, we don't want to punch each other. It's not like that. But I'm honest. I've done this way too long, and I just no longer have the temperament to deal with shit. I just don't. And I remember having a real heart-to-heart to him in the production studio, and I kind of knew right then and there I was sealing my fate. When I talked to him about how he used to say he was always this huge fan of KTU and loved what we did, but then he came in and, well, everything we were doing was wrong. You know, he wanted to take all of our elements, and not that this is horrible, I'm just giving an example, you know, all of our IDs, sweepers, jingles, and make the jocks play the ones that he scheduled rather than let them be the architect and use what's at their disposal. Here's your palette of colors, use it on the air. That's how our jocks were used to running, and there was that controlled chaos that brings about that intangible creativity and energy that comes out of the speakers. And Rob has a very AC background. He's a protege of Jim Ryan's. He'd been in Long Island at Walk, which is very successful. And that's what he knows. And he was taking KTU to that end. And I said, can we meet somewhere in the middle? You know? I was sealing my fate. And before you know it, you know, I was gone. So, yeah, there you go. That's pretty darn honest.
No, I like it. How much attention have you paid to KTU since you left? Excuse me.
For a while, I paid absolutely zero attention, of course. I flip through now. You know, I don't want to talk bad about anyone or anything. And you know, here's the thing. If you look at the ratings of KTU now, well, technically they're way higher than they were when we were there in what you previously called the heyday. You know, when I call it the flamethrowing dance CHR days of KTU. But now the ratings methodology has changed, and they can boast numbers like we never had back in our day. And days prior to me with Bill Schultz and whatever, you know, when KTU even fired up and was number one in the market, I think the QM now on PPM is probably higher than it was way back then. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I'm just guessing.
No, you're probably right. With PPM, QMs went through the roof. Yeah.
So, but now, you know, again, I don't want to rip on anyone in particular, but I don't hear the magic. And this isn't just KTU. This is kind of a mostly an industry-wide statement of CHR. In rhythmic, I don't hear the same magic coming out of the speakers that existed half a dozen years ago.
You live, you're near New, you're not in the city, but you're somewhere right out there, right?
Yeah, I'm just in the suburbs in New Jersey.
Yeah, so just taking a snapshot of radio in New York right now versus radio in New York in, let's say, 2005, are there any stations that still give you that, you know, excitement to be a New Yorker? You know, are there any stations that are really putting that vibe out there? Or has that been, in your opinion, generally drained from New York radio?
Ooh. Well, compared to half a dozen years ago or so, it's not the same. And that's prevalent everywhere. If we went to Chicago or LA or whatever, I don't know that it's unique to New York by any means.
It seems like it might be a little worse in New York, though.
I have a theory. It's because Wall Street is here. And okay. Anything a major company wants to do as a company-wide mandate or dictate, they better be hearing it on the air in New York. So that could be one of the reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so cool. Well, you're out of KTU.
For about 6 years, yes.
Tell me about your thought. I mean, obviously you said, you know, you didn't listen to KTU at all. I'm not going to say you were bitter, but, you know, you had the ill will, whatever.
Everyone has to get over, you know, what they go through. Yeah.
It's a breakup of some sort. So what was your mindset like, though? You know, were you scared? Did you have enough side business built up or financially you were going to be fine? Or, you know, tell me a little bit about how your mind was at the time.
At the time, I had some side business built up. I had just bought a house 1 year before getting the axe.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, crap.
I'm sure it was nice and cheap in the suburbs of New Jersey.
Yeah, you know, I could be living in a McMansion if I was in my hometown of Cleveland for what I bought a very modest place out here for. There was pressure to, I had built a great studio setup here. And a lot of labor went into it between my dad and I. And I didn't want to give that up or lose it. Also, as you remember, when I said I got to L.A., I said, I'm done moving. You know, every job that I've ever had has lasted an average of 2-3. And I've never actually hit the 4-year mark. I always say 4 years in Chicago, 4 years in New York. It was several months shy of that in each city.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here going, okay, when I lost the job, there were a couple of possibilities. Hey, do you want to come to Miami? Do you want to go to Sacramento? Do you want to? And two things. One, and this is so not to sound egotistical or snobby, but you do get spoiled. After I did Chicago, LA, New York, how do you get excited to go introduce, you know, Britney Spears on the radio in another market? I mean, really?
I don't understand that because I wasn't on in New York, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And then, but the bigger thing was, okay, so I'm going to pick up and move again. And the next job's going to last probably 2 or 3 years before some BS happens. And what type of life is this? And I had finally switched between the mode of go for the career, go as high as you can, blah, 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 to, you know what? Time to have a good personal life, mentally, physically, you know, and with your loved ones. So that became really important to me.
And can I ask you, at the time, I don't know you personally that well, mm-hmm. but are you married? Were you married? Or
No, I have a partner and did not want to mess with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, so that had to be that had to weigh into your decision pretty heavily.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's pick up again and let's move to Miami. That sounds egotistical. I know there's a lot of there are a lot of people unemployed right now or underemployed or miserably employed. It's like, wow, you son of a bitch, what? You couldn't go to Miami? You know, it's not like that when you've been on the journey, you know, to the point where I had gotten. And I always had the dream, and I got this from Bumper Morgan way back when in his Y107 Nashville days, and I remember visiting him there. He's one of the guys that taught me a lot back in my hometown of Cleveland when he was at GCL. And I said, I want to do this. I want to have my own studio, and I want to voice stations all over the country or world or whatever. And being on KTU as the image voice did elevate my credibility in the image voice VO world. And it was easy. I don't want to say it was easy, but it was easier to get clients. Oh, you voice KT New York. Oh, okay, mm-hmm. cool. You know, so that, yeah, that helped a lot. and so I'm like, okay, let's see if I can really do this. And the first year and a half wasn't so hard because I had unemployment coming in. I had a reasonable severance package. But then unemployment ran out. Severance blew through. And the market crashes and everything. And I have clients dropping on me, let alone not getting new ones. And it was very scary, but I did manage to pull through. And I don't regret it at all. Things are, you know, pretty good now. I'm not getting super rich, but I'm holding my own and I'm happy and I love my personal freedom.